The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Greetings, everyone. Pearls are highly valued gemstones and have been for many, many centuries. The ideal pearl is perfectly round and smooth, and it's highly sought after. There are several types of pearls. There are natural pearls, cultured pearls, and imitation pearls. You can do research on this subject, and there are many sources that will explain further about the tremendous value of pearls. One source I went to is called the Wikipedia Encyclopedia. Here are some quotes from that source on the subject of pearls. Quote, fine gem-quality saltwater and freshwater pearls can and do sometimes occur completely naturally, but this is rare. Many hundreds of pearl oysters, or pearl mussels, have been gathered and opened and thus killed in order to find even one pearl. And for many centuries, that was the only way pearls were obtained. This was the main reason why pearls fetched such extraordinary prices in the past. In modern times, however, almost all the pearls for sale were formed with a good deal of expert intervention from human pearl farmers. A true pearl is made from layers of nacre by the same living process as is used in the secretion of the mother of pearl, which lines the shell. A natural pearl is one that formed without any human intervention at all in the wild and is very rare. A cultured pearl, on the other hand, is one that has been formed on a pearl farm. The great majority of pearls on the market are cultured pearls. That seems to be the way it is today in the pearl business. Most of them are cultured pearls. Continuing with this quote, imitation or fake pearls are also widely sold in inexpensive jewelry. Now let's go to another page. Here's another quote from this source, Wikipedia Encyclopedia, on the subject of pearls. Large, perfectly round pearls are rare and highly valued, and they are usually natural pearls. Continuing, quality natural pearls are very rare jewels, this encyclopedia says. The actual value of a natural pearl is determined in the same way as it would be for other precious gems. The valuation factors include size, shape, quality of surface, orient, and luster. And as is pointed out in other sections of this source on the subject of pearls, the larger the pearl, the more expensive. Continuing, single natural pearls are often sold as a collector's item or set as centerpieces in unique jewelry. Very few matched strands of natural pearls exist, and those that do often sell for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yachtsman and financier Cartier purchased the landmark Cartier store on Fifth Avenue in New York for $100 cash. It sounds like it was a giveaway to him, doesn't it? But continuing with this quote, $100 cash and a double strand of matched natural pearls valued at $1 million. Well, there's much more we could go into on the subject of pearls. As you will find if you look into it, large, perfectly shaped, round pearls found in the natural environment are very, very difficult to obtain, very, very rare, and tremendous work, sacrifice, and sometimes risk of life all have to come together over a long period of searching until you finally find that one beautiful, big, round, perfectly formed natural pearl. But when you do, it fetches a tremendous amount of money. It is what has been referred to over the years as the pearl of great price. Now, you know, there are biblical lessons to learn from this subject, the precious value of naturally formed and beautifully shaped pearls. Let's turn over here to Matthew chapter 13 and just notice this. Let's notice what the Bible has to say about this pearl of great price and the analogy that it draws. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. The kingdom of heaven is not in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is going to be on this earth. But it is the kingdom of God, and he's in heaven. So the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls or beautiful pearls. Verse 46, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, he might have had considerable substance. He might have been well off. He might not have been so well off. But when this merchantman found that one pearl, that perfectly formed, natural, beautiful, large pearl of great price, he put everything else on the line in order to obtain that pearl, because he knew that if he could obtain that pearl, could buy that pearl, it would far exceed everything else that he had. It would be the most important thing he could possess. He then would have wealth that would far surpass everything else put together. If he could obtain that one pearl of great price, he would have wealth beyond anything he could dream of. Therefore, he put everything on the line for that one pearl. Now, Jesus Christ likens the kingdom of God as the pearl of great price. The reason he did is because if we will seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, if we will grow and overcome and develop so that one day we can be in the kingdom of God, that's more valuable than anything else we could have and everything put together. Once that takes place, once we actually become part of the kingdom of God, that's everything. That's eternal life, that's happiness, that's joy, that's peace, that's glory. And so everything is worth sacrificing for the kingdom, just like this man knew that everything was worth sacrificing for the pearl of great price. The kingdom of God is the family of God. Jesus Christ will establish it on this earth, and it is the government of God in action, led by the family of God. And that's coming in the future. Let's read about that over here in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Jesus Christ is going to be the king of that kingdom, and he's going to establish it on this earth, and everything will then change. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world, the governments of this world, are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, the government of Jesus Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever as the king. Things might look bleak right now when you take a look at this world and the societies in this world. When you take a look at wars that are taking place, natural catastrophes that occur on a daily basis, floods, earthquakes, fires. When you take a look at societies that are riddled with crime and family breakdown and disease and unemployment and anarchy in some places, it looks rather bleak. If you add it all up, it's obvious that man is headed toward the total destruction of all life on this earth in due time. If he's left with enough time, mankind will totally obliterate all life from this planet. It can come through nuclear weapons. It can come through biological weapons. It can come through disease epidemics. There are so many ways now available to man to misuse and abuse and eventually, and over not too many years, totally and completely erase all forms of life from this earth. And nobody can stop it. Nobody has the authority. Nobody has the know-how. Nobody has the leverage to stop it and reverse it. As one great leader said, in order to solve man's problems, there has to be a strong hand from some place to intervene. Well, you know, he probably didn't realize this, but in actual fact, there will be a strong hand from some place to intervene, and that strong hand will be Jesus Christ intervening when he comes back to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and takes over this world and establishes the kingdom of God on this earth and then moves it in the right direction once and for all. When that takes place, everything turns around and heads in the right direction. When the kingdom of God is established on this earth and Jesus Christ is in charge, that is what will prevent the destruction of life on this planet. The intervention of Jesus Christ to establish his kingdom on this earth and employ the government of God to produce great results instead of horrible results that man's government and man's way produces. This is the good news that Jesus Christ said must be preached to all the world as a witness. This is the gospel. When you read about the gospel of the kingdom of God in the Bible and that we are to be preaching it and teaching it and learning about it, it's talking about Jesus Christ as King of kings and Lord of lords, establishing the kingdom of God on this earth and the laws of God on this earth and the ways of God that will produce tremendous happiness, tremendous joy, and tremendous results. It's about the kingdom of God and the family of God and the government of God bringing about the peace that can only come from God. That's the good news of the kingdom of God. That's the gospel of the kingdom of God. Let's turn over here to Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. And Jesus Christ described this as the pearl of great price. Why is it something that we ought to seek after as we would seek after a treasure? We read about that man over there in Matthew that found the pearl of great price, and he sought it with every fiber of his being, sold everything that he had so that he could buy it. When we realize the greatness and the tremendous results that will take place from the kingdom of God being established on this earth, we too will begin seeking it with every fiber of our being. It will be foremost in our lives. It will be something that we will pray about, that we will dream and hope about, that we will talk about, and that we will move toward by overcoming and growing and becoming more like Jesus Christ and starting to live our lives more in line with what God's Word says. Because the kingdom is everything. It means everything. It will deliver everything that all of mankind wants so desperately to have, but seeks it in the wrong way. And here's what we all want. But we want to get it our way instead of receiving it God's way. Here's what we want, Romans 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God is going to bring. That's the results of the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Let's take even a more detailed glimpse into the kingdom of God on this earth and what it will bring about. Let's turn over here to Micah chapter 4 in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. Just look at what's going to happen as a result of Jesus Christ coming back to this earth, establishing the kingdom of God on this earth, and being the king over the whole world. Notice the results of that wonderful good news. And therefore, notice why everyone who really understands the gospel of the kingdom of God will seek the kingdom of God with all of their being, like the pearl of great price that it really is, spiritually speaking. It says here in Micah chapter 4 and verse 1, everyone wants what's described here, and everyone can have it. But it's going to take Jesus Christ and the kingdom to bring it about. And it's going to take people who will yield to him, surrender to him, and live like he says we ought to live. According to the Ten Commandments, where we love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's going to bring about a completely different way of life for all humanity on this earth. And it's going to bring it about for 1,000 years, because Jesus Christ will be reigning for 1,000 years, and his kingdom will be established for 1,000 years, and then after that, forever. It says here in Micah chapter 4 and verse 1, but in the last days it shall come to pass. So this is not talking about something in the past. This is not talking about something that's taking place now. This is talking about something that's going to come to pass soon. We are living in the last days. And here's what's going to happen in the last days regarding the kingdom of God. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. It's talking about the government of God, the kingdom of God. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, or out of Zion, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. That's speaking of a time that's never taken place yet. This is speaking of a day that's yet to come. Can you imagine the results that will take place once this happens? Everyone will be saying, let's go and learn God's ways. Let's walk in His paths. Let's live by His law. Let's follow His word. The peace, the joy, the happiness, the health, the prosperity, the abundance that will then take place in the kingdom of God is beyond words. Continuing in verse 3, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Contemplate a time when there will be no more war ever anywhere on the earth. If you consider the budgets of virtually every nation on earth, the largest aspect of that budget has to do with war, has to do with implements of war, armies, weapons, tanks, airplanes, ships, bullets, guns. That's the biggest outlay of just about any budget in any nation on earth today. And the result is mayhem, destruction, death, misery, suffering, violence, and a general escalation in hostility. Do you know the time is coming when war will be a thing of the past? There will be no war colleges. There will be no doctrine of war. There will be no participation in war. All war implements will be destroyed or turned into implements of productivity and farming and building and other things. And instead of war, there will be peace. Peace among all nations, among all races, among all cultures. Peace, respect, serving and giving and loving one another. Racism will be a thing of the past. Vengeance and hatred and getting even will not be a part of life then. Instead, there will be giving and serving and productivity and building and sharing and helping and respect and appreciating one another. And what's going to bring this about? It won't be the United Nations. It won't be electing a new president. It won't be a change in some local law or way of doing things. Those are just Band-Aid attempts to solve problems that are too big for Band-Aids. What's going to bring that about is going to be Jesus Christ coming back to this earth with the kingdom of God to establish His way, His truth, His government on this earth, and then everything will turn around and all that we want as human beings will then be established if what we want is good and peace and joy and happiness and health and tremendous success. If we want evil things, no, that'll all be done away with. And people who insist on having evil things, if they don't change, they'll be done away with. Look at this beautiful glimpse into the future when the kingdom of God will be on this earth and the results that it brings. Look at this in verse 4 of Micah 4. And they shall set every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. No more serial killers, no more pedophiles, no more drug dealers, no more crime waves or gangs or bullies or abusers of others. None of that. Mental institutions will be a thing of the past. Hospitals will be a thing of the past because there will be health and longevity of life, and quality of life will be at the absolute peak. People will start to reach their potential. There will be tremendous cultural events. Tremendous talent will bloom. The full potential that's built into man, into the human being, mentally and physically and emotionally and spiritually, will now blossom everywhere. And along with that will come peace, will come creativity and innovation, will come a better way to do everything. And it'll be harmonious. Take a look at this little postcard here once again in Micah 4 and verse 4. But they shall set every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. Take a little time to think about that, to talk about that, to imagine that. Can you imagine the kind of farming that will take place? Can you imagine the delicious food that will be available? Can you imagine the harmonious fairness and justice that will be found wherever you look? In the judicial system, in the educational system, in the farming community, in the cities that will be built, in the application of fairness in all walks of life? It's a thing that we can look forward to, that we can dream about, pray about, study about, anticipate, and yearn for, and long for with all of our being. And we should, because it's going to take place. And it's going to take place in the not-too-distant future. We're living in the days just prior to Jesus Christ coming back to this earth and establishing His kingdom and developing the way of life described right here and in other places in the Bible, right here in Micah chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. That is the good news of the kingdom of God. That is the gospel of the kingdom of God. That is why we ought to be seeking the kingdom of God like we would seek the great, perfect, beautiful gemstone, pearl of great price. We can't be casual about it. We can't be lackadaisical or laid back. If we want to reject this truth, if we want to run past it, if we want to ignore it, we're free to do that. But what will come if we do is continuing misery, acceleration downward, and mankind complicating everything for each other because God's not in the picture. If we want to go about living life in a different way, then we will begin to study about the kingdom of God and begin to live in a way that will take us toward the kingdom of God and seeking it with our whole being. If we do that, we'll draw close to God, we'll start living life His way now, and we will be anticipating and preparing for the time when that kingdom will be on this earth and Jesus Christ will be here as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is the pearl of great price. That is worth giving everything up for in order to have that. Do you know the beauty of that, however? When we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, not only in His mercy one day will He allow us to come into His kingdom, but on the way there, He will protect us and bless us and watch over us, and we will have peace and joy and happiness. And when trials come, we will have strength to get through those trials and learn from them and build the holy, righteous, godly character that He wants us to have in order to be in His kingdom. I'd like to turn to one other scripture that graphically describes what the kingdom of God is going to produce. It's over here in Isaiah. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 11 and just read very quickly a description that has never taken place on this earth, and you can't find it anywhere on the earth right now, but it's coming in the near future. It says here in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 5, "And righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, and faithfulness the girdle of His reins," speaking of Jesus Christ coming back to this earth and establishing the kingdom on this earth. What will this bring about? Verse 6, "And the wolf also shall dwell with a lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox." We've never seen a time where this has ever taken place in the 6,000 years of man's history, but it's going to. "And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain." And why will that be the case? Notice verse 9. "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." The kingdom of God is going to be a time when people will understand about the true God, a time when people will know the way that brings joy and happiness and peace and success. The kingdom of God is going to be a way of life that produces health and prosperity and success. And it's all based on the knowledge of the eternal and following what the eternal says we must follow. And every nook and cranny all over the face of the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. If you look at the globe of the earth, wherever on that globe you want to put your finger, that location will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's a complete blanketing of the whole earth with God's way of life, and people will follow that way, and the results will be tremendous. It'll be the opposite to what we see around us today. Everything that is bad will be done away and replaced by everything that is good. The kingdom of God, the pearl of great price, will be a reality. That's living life the way God intended it to be lived. No wonder it is called the pearl of great price. No wonder it's something that we should be studying, thinking about, praying about, and moving toward with all of our being and seeking with our whole heart. I want to turn to one other verse that is a very famous verse, but I doubt that many people have taken time to really understand it and to put it into practice. It's over here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. The disciples came to Jesus Christ and asked him to teach them to pray. And so he gave them an outline for prayer. This is not all that we can include in our prayer, but it is an outline of things that we can include in our prayer. And one of the most important things that Jesus Christ mentioned in this outline of prayer is found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Do we follow this admonition from him? Do we practice this in our own prayer life? Do we yearn for this with our whole heart to where we can hardly wait for it to take place? Look what he said here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, it's obvious when you read that and you're honest with the scriptures, it's saying that the kingdom is going to come to this earth and it's going to establish the will of God on this earth. And the will of God will be done on this earth as it is now presently being done in heaven. And the results of that glorious time will be a tremendous 1,000-year reign of utopian conditions for all of humanity. The opposite to what is available to humanity now. So I hope that we understand a little bit clearer now what Christ meant when he said, the kingdom is like the pearl of great price, is like a tremendous pearl of great price, highly sought after, but even more so. And I hope that when we realize that, we too can yearn for the time when the kingdom will be here. We too can be a part of preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God to the whole world in terms of the work of God. And we too can pray fervently, as Christ said we should. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We have material on this crucial subject of the kingdom of God that is free for the asking. Request our CD on Peace at Last and God's Kingdom Changes Everything. We'll also send you our free magazine entitled Straightforward. All you have to do is call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That number again is 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758. Or visit our website at straightforward.org.